Many in this world show an unforgiving, even a vengeful spirit. What motivates us to think and act differently? And what can help us to do so? Please listen intently as the next talk by our visiting branch representative, Brother David Walker, and his theme is Love Covers a Multitude of Sins.
Well, brothers, we've already learned that Jehovah God wants us to serve Him with our whole heart, and this involves keeping His commandments. That's what we learn in 1 John 5 and 3. This is what the love of God means, that we observe His commandments. And that involved not only seeing, but acting on what we see or what we hear. So, since love is to be shown not in theory then, but in practice, in real time, that means that our love for Jehovah can be tested. It can be tested by how we apply our love and to what extent we apply our love. Again, not just in words, like a fuzzy feeling, I love God, but in deeds. Remember our theme scripture, brothers? Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 3. The scripture says that Jehovah your God is testing you. Jehovah's testing me. For what reason? To know whether we love Him with all our heart and all our soul. So now, brothers, we might ask, since that scripture says that Jehovah is testing us, how do we respond to tests? Maybe you're in school or at work and you want to keep a certain standard at work. Maybe you have a kind of work that requires you to be regularly updated, and to be updated and certified, you have to pass a test periodically. Or in school, we have tests so we can graduate. Now, how do we view tests? Well, some of us get pretty stressed when we have tests. What about tests like medical tests or eye tests? We get those tests and then we're concerned. Doctor, when will I get the results? And then you get a phone call from the receptionist, come on in for the results. Now, are they going to be good? We hope so. What about that driving test? You see, brothers, for some tests, you and I can study published information that's going to certainly give us practical information that we can see with our eyes. We get the theory of what's going on. But what about the practical? Now, you go down there for the driving test. Maybe you're just starting out to get your license. Or when you get older, you might have to go for a literal driving test again to show that you qualify to be on the road. Now, remember that test we had in our talk number one? You pulled up at the corner there. You didn't stop. You observed the sign, but you didn't do what it said, and the policeman got you and issued you a ticket. It cost you something because you didn't obey the sign. So, the point is, brothers, because all of us are imperfect, we're not doing things perfectly. So that's the thrust of our program today. We're being asked to learn how to serve Jehovah to a better degree, to love Him more with our whole heart. And so one anointed Christian, was a member of the governing body, visited our branch in Toronto many times. And he had this beautiful sentence that I wrote down and treasure. He says, we need to close the gap between hearing and doing. Isn't that a nice sentence? He's serving now in heaven, that anointed Christian, one of Christ's brothers. He said, we need to close the gap between hearing and doing. So that's what our program is about today. Not just to hear, not just to see the Word of God or Bible publications, but we're saying, Jehovah, help me to do what I see and hear. Help me to do that. And that will demonstrate to you, Jehovah, my love, that it's being done with my whole heart. So brothers, you and I must be different, and we are, all of you are different, from the unloving, from the vengeful, and for the unforgiving world around us. All of you brothers and sisters love Jehovah, and we're glad to be together here in this beautiful assembly hall today. But now, what is a test for me and you? So now we've learned what the love of God means, that we observe His commandments. That means we see them or hear them and do them. But now what's a practical application of that scripture, 1 John 5 and 3? Well, here it is. 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter 4 and 8. So here's a test for me now, brothers. Here's a love test, we could say. Can we pass it? 4:8 says, above all things. So that's not secondary now. Peter, under inspiration, says, above all things, have intense love for one another. So what will intense love do for me? What will intense love, brothers, do for you? He says, because love covers a multitude of sins. So there's an absolute practical example of love in action. Now here's a very interesting point. The word intense, what's it mean? Well, intense means something existing to an extreme degree. It means feeling deeply about something. So the Bible didn't say there, above all things, have love for one another. That won't cut it. The Bible says that you and I must have intense love for one another. So the question I have to ask myself in my dealings with brothers and sisters, you and in our congregation where I serve, is my love that strong? Does it cause me to do that? Do what? The Bible says, because love covers a multitude of sins. So here's a very interesting point in our program, brothers. The imperfections and the sins of others may test the depth of our love and our capacity to forgive. Do you notice that? That the intensity or depth of our love and our capacity to forgive are connected. That means that if our love is not deep, if my love is not deep, if my love is shallow, if our love is shallow, if you and I are easily offended, then what's that going to do? In harmony with 1 Peter 4:8, it's going to limit our capacity to forgive. It's a powerful point in this program. So here's our love test. 1 Peter 4:8. Have intense love for one another. Not ordinary, intense, because it works. It will allow us to cover a multitude of sins. Now you and I know, brothers, that it's our desire, of course, to live peacefully with our family members, with our friends, with fellow humans, and with Jehovah God and His Son. And for this to happen, there must be a willingness for us to forgive when we're offended in word or deed. And it's good, brothers, for us to think about this. When we consider the sins that we've committed over a lifetime of imperfection. See, the Bible tells us right from conception on, we are born in sin. And then after we're born, right up until now as adults or children in our midst, We've committed a lifetime of sins. But in view of that, we recognize that we're hopelessly unable to meet Jehovah's perfect standards. We recognize that. And yet, what about our loving Father Jehovah, the God of tender mercies? Jehovah God, when we're repentant, He's willing to forgive us, and He's willing to wipe our slate clean, as it were. Hence, in view of that truth, anyone who desires Jehovah's friendship is obliged to forgive the shortcomings of fellow humans. Now, we might be saying to ourselves, you know something, Brother Walker? That all sounds fine in theory, but that's easier said than done. You should know some of the folks that have hurt me. See? We don't want to think that way, brothers. Why is it that we can say it's easier said than done to forgive? Brothers, because when we're offended in word or deed by others, emotions get involved. Our emotions get involved. And we might feel angry when that happens. We might feel a sense of betrayal. We might have a desire to seek justice and revenge. Or in some cases, we might say, you know something, I'll never forget that person. Never forgive them. I just can't do it. Well, brothers, if we feel like that, how can we cultivate the forgiving attitude that Jehovah God requires? Well, we've just read it. The answer, 1 Peter 4:8, have intense love. Not regular love. It's not good enough. Intense. That's what, again? Existing to an extreme degree, feeling deeply. That kind of love. And what will that love do, brothers? It will allow us to cover over the sins that are committed against us by fellow brothers and sisters. Now, Jehovah's love. Think about Jehovah. He forgives to a large degree. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. Yes, Jehovah God loved us so much, the human family that is, and we're part of that, that He provided the ransom, offering His Son, the most precious thing to Him, His firstborn, and that opened up the way for repentant sinners to gain forgiveness and God's approval. In Ephesians 1:7, we have a beautiful expression that was inspired, and Paul wrote it down. He says, by means of Him, that's Jesus Christ, we have the release by ransom through the blood of that one. Yes, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His undeserved kindness. Undeserved. We didn't deserve it. Jehovah didn't need to send the ransom, make the ransom sacrifice available. But Jehovah loved the human family. He saw what happened in the Garden of Eden. He saw the potential of what He'd created. And He wanted man to have life. He wants us to have life. And brothers, when Jehovah forgives, now we're learning about with Jehovah's example as we go through this discussion. Jehovah's example. Now how does He forgive? Is Jehovah begrudging about His forgiveness for us? And we repeat sins over and over again. We're making mistakes every single day in word or deed. Some big, some small. But does Jehovah say, there they go again. I can't believe it. I just can't believe that person's doing that again about me or you. No. Jehovah forgives, not begrudgingly. Jehovah is not forced to forgive us. He wants to. And see, we're learning something. That's how we want to be. For instance, Psalm 86:5. What's it tell us? It says there that Jehovah is ready to forgive. Isn't that a wonderful Father we have? So brothers and sisters, we want to be ready to forgive others. What about the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 7? It says that Jehovah forgives in a large way. He's our exemplar. So that means that you and I want to forgive in a large way. We don't want to be stingy in our forgiveness. No, we want to be ready to forgive in imitation of Jehovah. And we're grateful for God's love and forgiveness. In Psalm 103, for instance, verses 8 to 14, in verse 12 it says about our sins, as far off as the sun rises from the sunset, so far off from us has he put our transgressions. So it's a long way from sunrise to sunset, brothers. They never meet. They can't meet sunrise and sunset. And that's what Jehovah, how he treats us. That's where he puts our sins. They never meet. When God forgives, he forgives. We want to do the same. So now, brothers, how do we imitate Jehovah's love? How do we do it? Well, let's think about the ministry. Let's think about the congregation. Let's think about our family. This is practical now. So, in the ministry, what's Jehovah's feelings as we go about our ministry, brothers? Well, Jehovah is ready to forgive all sorts of people. Yes. And because of that, you and I go out in the ministry hoping to find someone that's righteously disposed for everlasting life. You see, if Jehovah wasn't ready to forgive people who would change out there, we'd be just wasting our time, just going through the motions of this preaching work on a global scale. But no, Jehovah is ready to forgive all sorts of people. We think of John 3:16 that we know so well in part. It says that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life. Everyone exercising faith. So people can learn about that and change. And what did Paul say in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 17? Paul, an outstanding preacher of the good news back in the first century, he said he viewed himself as a debtor to all kinds of folk. He said to the Greeks, the foreigners, the wise, the senseless people. He said, I call on them all. He was eager to share the good news. And he viewed the good news as God's power for salvation to everyone having faith. And that's how we do our work, brothers. And then we think about this aspect of Jehovah ready to forgive. We remain hopeful that people will change when they hear the good news of the kingdom. But we don't know how they're living right now. They may be bad people right now in God's sight, practicing very serious sins. We think of all the serious sins mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. People are practicing those sins every day. But they can change. We did, brothers and sisters. Did we learn the truth from infancy at home with mom and dad, who were servants of Jehovah? That was wonderful. But what about folks that were called on in the door-to-door work? Maybe that describes you. And what kind of a life were we living before the truth came to our door? But we changed. And Jehovah forgave us. We asked for forgiveness. Jehovah forgave us. He says that's what some of you wear, but you've been washed clean. You've been sanctified. You've been declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Spirit of our God. And brothers, besides that, we think of our brothers now in this day and age, not that it's new, but are presently in prison cells at this very moment, incarcerated. And how do they view their persecutors outside their cells? Maybe a man there, a guard with a gun or a club. Well, Romans 12:14 says, we keep on blessing those who persecute. We bless and we do not curse. So we even forgive those who persecute us. That could happen to us in the near future here. We could be incarcerated too. And we want to be able to forgive those who treat us badly. But now what about in the congregation, brothers and sisters? How do we deal with our brothers and sisters in the congregation? Well, that's important. And to help us in that regard, we're going to go over to the book of Colossians, please. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And we have chapter 3 and verse 13. And here the scripture says, continue putting up with one another and forgiving one another freely, even if anyone has a cause for complaint against another. See, even if, just as Jehovah freely forgave you, you must, not maybe or suggested, must also do the same. It's a powerful passage of scripture, brothers. So what are we talking about in our program right now, brothers? A practical application of our love. It's not just a fuzzy feeling. Oh, I love. I'm a lover. No. Show me. Show me. That's what we're looking at right now. So what's that scripture asking us to do? Well, it says, continue putting up with one another. Now, those words, continue putting up, render a Greek word that suggests being tolerant and forbearing. One reference work says that the Christians display this quality by a willingness to bear with those whose faults and unpleasant traits are an irritant to them. So we think of a brother or sister whose unpleasant traits are an irritant to us. We say, that just bugs me to no end. Like our brother mentioned earlier, I don't want to be in the service group with them. They bug me. But you see, it says continue putting up with. We're required to do that. That's what love in action means. And then the scripture goes on to say, continue forgiving one another freely. Now, according to one scholar, we're taking this verse apart now. According to one scholar, the Greek word rendered freely forgive is not the common word for remission or forgiveness. It's not. But one of richer content, emphasizing the gracious nature of the pardon. See, remember earlier on, Jehovah said he was ready to forgive, and he forgave in a large way. Wasn't begrudging. We don't say to the person, oh, all right, I'll do it. See, I don't want to do it. I just showed that. But no, emphasizing the gracious nature of our forgiveness. We say, I want to forgive. I want to imitate Jehovah. And then the scripture continues, just as Jehovah freely forgave you, you must also do the same. So this is the foremost reason, brothers, why we should freely forgive others. It's because Jehovah freely forgives us. So we can ask ourselves, since Jehovah God, my Heavenly Father, so graciously forgives me and you, how could I withhold forgiveness from a fellow imperfect human who is genuinely repentant for having sinned against me? You see, brothers and sisters, we can't do that. We can't hold a grudge. And this scripture in Colossians 3:13 highlights the words of the 17th century British historian by the name of Edward Herbert. This is what he said. He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. What's that mean? Well, the message is clear. We need to be forgiving towards others, for sooner or later, we may need to ask others to forgive us. So that's the bridge over which we may have to pass ourselves. So Paul advises us to be tolerant and forgiving. It makes us think of Proverbs 17:9, where it says, "Whoever forgives a transgression seeks love, but the one who keeps harping on a matter separates close friends." Yes, thoughtless words can injure, but love covers a multitude of sins. So brothers, we can say then that forgiveness, when we express forgiveness toward others, that's a well-thought-out personal choice on our part. It's a nice expression, isn't it? It's a well-thought-out personal choice we make. I am going to forgive that brother or sister. And forgiveness also reflects understanding. What understanding? That we are also erring at times. Every day we sin in word or deed. So it's very realistic. Now, just to highlight this point, brothers, think of this little scenario that was presented in one of our publications. It says, imagine you pick up a rock. We're talking about now forgiveness and the need to do it. You pick up a rock, perhaps one that weighs just a few pounds, and you hold it at arm's length. Can you think of that? You'd probably have little trouble holding that rock for a short time, right? But what if you tried to hold it for an extended period of time? How long would you be able to hold it? Minutes? An hour? Or longer? No doubt the longer you held it, the more tired your arm would become. But what hasn't changed? The weight of the rock hasn't changed. But you've gotten tired holding it. So what's the message, brothers? It's the same with resentment. The longer we hold a grudge, even a rather small one, the more we hurt ourselves. So the counsel from the Bible is, let go of resentment. Drop it. Letting go is good for our health, spiritually and physically. Now, what about in the family, brothers? What are we going to, how are we going to use this idea in the family of being a forgiving person, having intense love? Well, the mistakes made in our family members can be sometimes the most difficult to forgive because we know our family members so well, don't we? Our love, though, should cover the imperfections of our family members. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, brothers, the insight of a man certainly slows down his anger, and it is beauty on his part to overlook an offense. So when we forgive others, and especially in our family, we're doing a beautiful thing according to the Bible, to forgive. So our love for Jehovah and the congregation will not, of course, allow us to hide serious sins committed by family members, because our allegiance to Jehovah comes before family. So if someone in our family gets involved in serious sin, we're going to help them to report that and get the spiritual help they need. We're not going to cover over that. And of course, we recognize the need to do that. But think now about our marriage, brothers, those of us who are married. How are we going to apply that scripture about having intense love? Well, maybe we have a disagreement in our marriage. We want to resist the urge to bring up the past. We don't want to rehash a list of old grievances that should have been settled long ago. That's going to help us in our marriage. And we don't withhold forgiveness in our marriage to maintain a sort of power over our spouse. We don't harbor resentment over past offenses, perhaps craving to get even, like one for one. And we don't enter into a marriage fully believing that life will be like a fairy tale romance, because it won't be. What does 1 Corinthians 7:28 tell us? It says in part that those who marry will have not maybe have, will have tribulation in the flesh. And if you're single, thinking of getting married, talk to a married couple. Ask them if everything's been rosy from day one. It isn't. The Bible says those who marry will have tribulation in the flesh. So marriage is not a fairy tale romance. It's a reality. It's the union of two good forgivers. And we don't want to misunderstand what extending forgiveness means in marriage. It doesn't mean that you are minimizing the wrong, that you forgot what happened, or inviting further mistreatment. No. In the Bible, at times the word forgiveness simply means to let go. Just to let go. So we want to be realistic then. We want to be a forgiving person. And the next time we're offended by something that our spouse said or did, we can ask ourselves, is the situation really that important? Do I need to demand an apology? Do I need to make a big deal out of this situation? No, we want to extend forgiveness. And of course, if we hurt our spouse in word or deed, sincerely apologize. And that will keep us close together. And as recommended in our publications over the years, it's good at times to look back at old photographs of you and your spouse taken earlier in your marriage or during your courtship. Remember when. You look at those pictures. Remember when we did this, sweetheart? Remember that day? How pleasant that was. Yes, try to rekindle the warmth you felt before problems crept in and clouded your view. So what a practical bit of information Jehovah's arranging for us to look at, brothers, during our assembly program today. So now we think of that family, that forgiving dad, that forgiving mother, and they have children in the home. How is that example of mom and dad living together in peace and unity, being forgiving? How is it going to affect the children? Well, they're going to observe the willingness of their parents to be forgivers. It's going to help our children to learn what the scripture says. Have intense love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So brothers, right now, at this point in time, it's so important that we be a forgiving person. It's so vital. Why? Because we're approaching the end of this system of things. And the world, of course, is growing increasingly vengeful. The world is growing increasingly unforgiving. But we want to be the opposite. We may be in a prison cell soon. And it could be with a brother or sister that we may find irritates us, grates us. Their peculiarities, their idiosyncrasies upset us. But we may be in the cell together. Do you think we'll settle things then quickly? We absolutely will, because we're both serving Jehovah. We both want to keep our integrity. So we know that Satan, the devil, today is so busy. He wants to have our imperfections divide us. And we can be certain, brothers, that as this system nears its end, pressures and anxieties will mount. And so it's vital that we cultivate love. And that's what Jesus did. On the night before he died, in the book of John, chapter 13, he talked about love many times. And we often say the last things said are often the first things remembered. So Jesus then is about to depart with his brothers that night, and of course the next afternoon he was executed. And so he shared loving things with his brothers before he left them. And we, of course, we can read that in the Bible. And today, of course, we think of our brothers facing bad world conditions, natural disasters, opposition. Well, we want to draw close together. This is the time, brothers, for us to close ranks. So our review question, how can we imitate Jehovah's love? 1 Peter 4:8 and Colossians 3:13. We can imitate Jehovah's love by preaching impartially to others and by freely forgiving those who persecute us, and we can also forgive those in our congregation and family. So, brothers and sisters, by means of the ransom sacrifice, Jehovah has lovingly covered our sins. We want to imitate Him and be forgiving towards our brothers and sisters. May Jehovah bless you as you do that.
Thank you, Brother Walker, for helping us to imitate Jehovah's beautiful example of forgiveness.